What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Spectator Mode Podcast. You know, I kind of feel like I say that all the time. I need some new material. But regardless, I'm your host, Keith Mitchell, and I'm joined with some of my buddies here at Downey Haven. We'll do top-down. So, Carl, what is up, bud?
Good evening, universe. I guess it's evening, could be morning, could be afternoon, could be anywhere in the world. But also, fun-filled podcast, I think we're going to be putting out the sodium a bit tonight.
Stop it, old man. Stop it.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, there he goes, old people. What's up, Kyle?
Hello.
That's it?
That's it. That's all I got. How are you guys doing? Everybody's beautiful who's listening to this right now.
Look, he's the optimist guy. And then, of course, my buddy Scott. What's going on, Scott?
Howdy. Just checking out the very cloudy outside. I couldn't tell if it's morning or afternoon or evening either with this.
I was going to ask, wait, and then I forgot. Wait, you're on the West Coast, so it's still.
It's always cloudy.
It's 8 o'clock here. It's dark. I can't see anything. So, all right. So, once again, this is the Spectator Mode Podcast. And as Carl alluded to, this one is a little bit salty. May not be good for your health, but please listen to the show. Anyway, gentlemen, do we want to skip over the games we played since we have such a big thing to get through today?
I mean, we can, but that means I can't talk about Wild Hearts.
You know what? We were supposed to talk about that. God, this show is going to be so long.
We'll just do Wild Hearts in some category.
We can do another one.
Oh, man. I really want to talk about Wild Hearts. No, we're going to skip Wild Hearts. We'll have a dedicated show to that.
Alrighty.
We will skip games we play just because there's a lot of stuff to get through. And maybe we'll circle around once we're done. I do want to put in real quick that I and also Andrew are heading out to PAX East this week. PAX East starts from March 23rd to the 26th, so that's Thursday to Sunday. Had my brain not thinking there for a second, which kind of stinks because it's also around the same time that GDC 2023 is also going on. So there's going to be a lot of people that I normally see at PAX that won't be at PAX this year, which makes me
bad. Yeah, you have to divide the communities. That's so weird.
Yeah,
you're not going to see me there.
Yeah, Kyle's not going to be there. our buddy Scott, oh no, sorry, Steve's not going to be there. And a couple other people just aren't going to be there.
I'm not going to be there. Weird.
Kyle's not going to be there.
I tried to be there.
You know, Carl's not going to be there. Wednesdays, we've got to get Carl there. It's going to be super expensive, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, if Carl does show up, I might make more of an effort to show up too.
Yeah, we need to get him like a tablet. On like a little
yo, there we go.
Segway, you know, and then he can do it straight from Australia. We got him.
There you go. That's an idea. But other than PAX East, because we just got to talk about that. Who else played Diablo 4 this weekend?
I did.
So Scott, Kyle, I thought you
did that one more time. I apologize.
Did you play Diablo 4 this weekend?
I absolutely did. It was a blast.
So we're going to talk about that because I am super smitten with this game, and this is just a beta. This is one of the most polished betas I've ever played.
Like, I agree.
If they put this game out right now, it will play. It's just great. I had some issues on the PC version, and had some, I don't want to say stuttering. I want to say maybe it was a shader compilation, but very often, the controller support in the PC version was marvelous. I did not miss keyboard and mouse whatsoever.
Did you run into that issue where if you leave like Kyovashad from like the east gate or the west gate, it doesn't work? You can't get out. So I ran into that, and then I watched a streamer do the exact same thing.
Only problem I had wasn't with the game; it was with me dying to a particular boss because the mechanic of that boss fight sucked. Other than that, I had nothing, no issues. The second I got onto the beta, I didn't want to do anything else. I didn't want to go eat. I didn't want to go to the bathroom. I didn't want my kids come into my room. Literally, like last night was the last time that you could play the beta. No, this morning. Okay, back up. I got off at 3 o'clock in the morning. So how about that? I was like, they're going to turn the servers off. They're going to turn the servers off. I got to get as far as I can. And then I got up and I was like, wow, it's 3 a.m. I'm still playing this game. I need to go to bed. It's literally that good. And there's a lot of previous Diablo DNA in there. Plus, Blizzard has made a crap ton. I don't want to say quality of life changes because the game's not out yet, but just a lot of things are a lot more simplified. Like transmog. You don't have to do anything other than salvage an item, and you can go to your wardrobe and just select
and it's there. Yeah.
It's like, that's it. You ain't got to do no stupid quests. You ain't got to pay no money.
Your items come with special like dyes. So if you don't like the color that it is, you can actually change those without having to unlock a bunch of stuff.
Yep. I love the fact that when you find an item, I don't think this has ever happened in Diablo, which is great. Whenever you find an item, depends on what it is. It could be a rare or it could be a legendary. Items come with their own individual stats, but also different abilities now. Which I was like, well, that's great. So I played as a sorcerer and I spec'd it out as a ice mage because, you know, World of Warcraft, I love that playstyle. But there are random items you can pick up that say, oh, hey, by the way, this one adds an extra teleport. So you don't have to take your points and throw it into a teleport. Or here, I gave you a fireball spell. You don't have to go and add a fireball spell to your spells. It just puts it there automatically. You have to spend no points. So your other points are just there for whatever you want to do. It's a great idea.
Yeah, I also like the game is like open about it. So like it'll tell you like, hey, this item unlocked a new spell for you. Yep. And then if you unequip it, it'll say spell lost, item removed, or something like that.
Which so. I kind of had a bad time with that. Not with that. That's great. But it was like, hey, now I can't replace this item. Because I liked having this ability on this item. So I kept upgrading the item and it got to the point where it was like, look, you can only upgrade it but so many times, like 4 times. And then either you stick with that item and you gink yourself or you find another item that does that or one of the two. It's really great. And the legendaries, they give you 2 different abilities. The rares give you 1, I think it was. It's just this game. It was just like, hey, I want you to play me. I'm going to do everything under the sun to make you play me. The gameplay would flow very well. I didn't have any issues with the mechanics of the game. Everything was laid out for you. There was nothing that was confusing. Nothing.
I could agree with that. It was pretty easy to catch on and play. I think I've only got like 1 complaint aside from the fact that I just ran into like the occasional little bug, like world events didn't activate right. And I got stuck getting out of that gate where I had to like go south and go all the way around and up to get to where I needed to be.
Were you on PC or console?
I was on PC when that happened.
Oh, and, that is weird.
Like I said, I also watched it happen to a streamer. She was playing and like her party couldn't leave the city either. They had to go south and up as well. So that's one that I ran into. But I think the little side dungeons are probably just a little bit too big. Because quests don't give enough experience points to really like feel beneficial. So I was jumping into all these little side dungeons every time I passed one to get to 20 so I could get that cute little backpack. And
I didn't get that. I didn't pay attention. I may have got it. I wasn't paying attention.
Well, if you got to 20, you probably did. You probably did get to 20 if you played as much as you did. But like I said, I kept jumping in these little dungeons. And by the time I hit 20, I was like kind of burned out on dungeons.
I mean, that happens with most dungeon crawlers, though. I mean,
I was maybe like a bar of experience away from 20. And I was like, okay, clearly I'm going to go from 19 to 20 if I just turn in this story quest. So I went and turned the story quest in and gained like not even like a quarter of the bar.
Elixirs to help with your XP?
I did not do that.
Yeah, I was cranking those out.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, you probably did get to 20. I think the cap was 25.
Yeah, cap was 25. I hit 25. I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna keep going. I was like, nope.
Yeah. See, there you go. So you're gonna get the you're gonna get all the giveaway things.
Nice. Cool. I made it to 10.
Yeah, this but guy. I'm still really sad because it just playing all this is like I really want to play it again, but at the same time, I really don't want to play the next beta because I feel like I'll burn myself out. They've already gave us a lot of the story.
I'm definitely going to hop on, at least try Druid.
Yeah, that was
one thing. I might try Druid.
I didn't try anything else because I'm also really sad. Like, I really enjoyed the Crusader from Diablo 3.
Yeah, I wish the Crusader made it back to you or something absolutely. Like the Crusader.
Right, and there's nothing in this one. Barbarian.
Give it time to let it as DLC.
Yeah, so it will definitely be a DLC expansion class. If it's not, I'm going to cry.
Because I need that character with the shield that I can just
shield. I want my shield throwback.
Shield bash done. Always the best.
Yep, I need that. I really need that. But I love my sorcerer. It was great.
Not my Captain America shield throwback.
I didn't get a chance to play it, but I read a lot of things from people who did. And the impression I got from it was it's Diablo Immortal without all the pushy microtransactions in it yet. It takes the good bits of previous Diablos, like Diablo 2's dungeon crawling and Diablo 3's overworld, mixes them together, which is essentially what a Diablo model was, and you know, just doesn't push you into doing microtransactions every 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, Diablo Immortal was definitely the test bed for this. The online portion, oh, it definitely was. It was just weird. I mean, sure, it happened in Immortal, but it was just so weird playing Diablo 4 and just seeing other people in my game. I'm like, what? Why? Oh, that's right. It's always online. That's other people in my game.
I actually kind of like that. Like when I got to Kyovashad and like got past the tutorial, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of other adventurers in the game. I was like, oh, hey, cool.
And let's talk about that for a second, because it was really easy too. Because, you know, again, Carl can admit to this, when you play World of Warcraft and you see somebody's gear, you want to look at their gear and see what they're rocking and see everything. And this was really easy. Just, you know, go to the, what was it? This hover circle, whatever you call it. And you can just look at their gear. You can say hi to them. You can ask them to trade things. Like, that was really cool.
Yes. I actually found out, I was watching somebody else stream the game last night. And I found out that if you go into like your character sheet and you hover over their armor, you can actually click on like just like a little circle to remove the armor piece or show it if you want. So if you hate helmets like I do in most games, you can just go on and hide the helmet. But you can do that for all the pieces of armor.
You can also do that with transmog. You can just go to the look and it says no armor.
You can do that with transmog as well. But it's cool that you can just do that straight from the menu as well.
That is really nice. You can't. I actually didn't try that.
Yeah, you can't transmog from the menu, but you can, like, hey, I hate the way this helmet looks for right now. You can just go in and turn that off.
What else was impressive? The ability to swap your spells, your abilities in combat. Didn't care. As long as you could hit the menu, you could swap anything out whenever you wanted.
That's cool.
If you got to a part of a dungeon that you realized you needed to change up your spells, you could do it right then and there. You could reset everything. It just cost you some gold. That was it. That was literally it. You get passive bonus now. You can actually select the passive bonus you want. So, for example, for me, again, Frost, I was using a frozen orb. So I put frozen orb as one of my passive. You opened one at, I think, 20, and then the next one at 30, but we couldn't do 30, so we couldn't get it. And it gave me the ability to randomly shoot another frost or orb.
That's cool.
I was like, wow, that's really cool. I like the fact that you thought about that.
Yeah, I played as the rogue, and I started off doing a melee build, which I didn't particularly love. So I went in and reset all my abilities and went ranged, and I didn't invest in a bunch of skills. I think I got two or three that I used the most, and one being like the poison traps. And I kind of went into all those abilities perks. So I had like, you know, the ability to knock down enemies when they set off my trap. And I bought the, it's like 5 rapid arrow spell that did more damage if I made them vulnerable. So I would shoot an enemy 3 times with that one basic attack and make them vulnerable. And then I would just like unload on them twice with the 5 rapid arrows. And that really helped out a lot.
Yeah.
It made me feel much cooler than melee.
Yeah. One of the big things about this game is items are definitely the make or break. I mean, it has been every Diablo game, but the fact that it gives you certain abilities regarding or depending on which piece of gear you have at the time, it's really nice. Socketing is also back, so you can socket your gems or whatever.
Yep.
Elixirs are back. You can do that. Pretty much everything that was in Diablo 3 is back.
Yeah. Socketing feels like it's never changed.
I mean, I could sit here for hours to talk about this game, but I want it. I want it now. It's a great game. I think that Blizzard, the people that work at Blizzard, have done a great job with this game. It is not Diablo Immortal. For people who are thinking that, it is not. Don't think so. It is not that game.
How is Immortal?
Immortal wasn't bad.
I've played all the Diablos. I just can't get in the mobile game.
I think the biggest problem with Immortal is just there's so much variety of in-game currency that you don't know where you're trying to get kind of a deal.
Yeah, you really can't get in the game unless you actually, I mean, you can, but you're grinding forever.
Yeah.
And here, no, it's just not there.
But luckily, we don't have to deal with a bunch of in-game currency.
You can tell with Immortal that it is very much a games as a service model system where they are pushing you to buy and buy and buy and buy. Whereas it sounds like Diablo 4 is more your traditional Diablo game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will keep ending it with at the moment. Because this, because this is Activision Blizzard. I'm sorry.
Like, I know.
As much as people want to go, oh, they're doing good things, or the Microsoft merger is going to do great things for it. No, I'm sorry. This is still Activision Blizzard at the end of the day. They are going to find some way to fleece your wallet at some point.
Well, look at this way. Maybe they're doing it the right way now because they want Microsoft to buy them and turn them around.
Maybe Microsoft
can change Overwatch 2 into actually a good game again.
No, that's never going to happen because the community has ruined that game more than the developers. Same with World of Warcraft.
There was something else. I think we covered most of the stuff. I mean, you can go into this a lot more, but I don't want to sit here all day and talk about this because at the end of the day, the beta is great. Play more of it. Trust me. I played a crap ton of it. Trust me. I really think you guys are going to enjoy it. And I love the fact that we can play this together and group up. It's cross play as well. So it doesn't matter what console.
This guy, he's always trying to get us to play games with him.
Hopefully I'll be available for the next one.
I have no friends. I'm a lonely guy. Everybody,
I'm your friend. I'll play with you.
They came dropouts and stupid peoples and poopy heads and all that. So,
you have friends. And,
I mean, we still also need to play Exo Primal together, too.
All I know is I couldn't get off this game. And I couldn't get off to play Wild Hearts, so that's telling you something. I couldn't be bothered at the time. It's like, I got to play this. I do think they do need to fine-tune some things. So many encounters. I played the highest levels you go to because, you know, I love Diablo. So many encounters I got into, I was like, wow, if I was a melee class, I probably would have died here. But, you know, because I spec'd up my character the way it was pretty much AOE beast. Blizzard, frozen orbs, ice shards, blizzard. Like, you're not getting near me, and I'm just, you know, damaged over time. Goodbye. So, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people go fire, so I'm glad to hear that ice is cool.
Yeah, ice is cool. Oh, all of them are cool. I love the fact that you have so much variety to do whatever you want. Fire, ice, lightning. Lightning was also pretty cool because lightning could jump off of different people if they're close to each other. So that was good as well. There was like 4 or 5 levels of the skill tree. That's what I thought about the skill tree. The skill tree is massive.
Yeah, it's crazy because like you kind of just keep going as you're looking through it. Yep. And you're like, okay, this one has like 4 perks and this one has like 3 perks tied to it. So you unlock a skill and that's got 5 points you can dump into it. But then behind it is a perk. And then once you pick that perk splits off into 2 other perks that you can pick one of. You know, you can get one or the other. So it's like, you know, you can get energy back with the rogue for using her like rapid arrows when you get a critical, or you can I think it's increase the amount of damage on the last arrow. So like it's really cool. You can really kind of finely tune your characters as you go, and that's really cool with the skill trees. I'm actually glad skill trees are back in comparison to what Diablo 3 was.
I really think that Blizzard wants people to come up with their own specs instead of having cookie cutter builds, which is great.
Yes.
Everybody can do their own thing, which is always good in a game. Like,
yeah, there's definitely variety.
I like customization, so that's good. But I was the thing you probably shouldn't have done, which was be a tanky barbarian. But I also just really liked how they had a variety of like weapons you could use with like axes and daggers and giant hammers. And being able to basically switch on them on the fly because all these different abilities you could then basically map to a specific weapon that you have. So it was really nice just to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I want to play some more, but I really don't.
Same here. But hey, the character creator in Diablo 4 is really cool.
Oh my
too.
God. Yes. Can we talk about that? Oh, that is so good.
Yeah. It's cool. I really like that we can customize our characters' visuals. So, I've seen some really cool creations out of people. I feel like my rogue looked really cool. I saw Keith's on Twitter. It looked really cool. So a lot of imagination coming out of people just for being able to pick like what 10 faces and like 14 hairstyles. Like it's everybody looks different so far. It's been really cool seeing everybody's characters.
And you also can go back and change the way your character looks without any charge. Just get to the point where you can get to your wardrobe and go, all right, I want to change my face again. I want to change my character's look again. And it goes, okay, change whatever you want to do.
Yep.
No issue. Love it. Love it. Oh, God. And I want to say one more thing, because I know that one person out there is going to go, I thought you guys said you weren't supporting Activision Blizzard. I say, no, We don't support the stupid negativity crap that they've been doing. We support the developers, the people who are in the trenches busting their butts to make these games. We support them. You know, Bobby Kotick or something, he can go kick rocks. I could care less what he does.
That guy sucks.
Yeah, whatever. Yes. Screw that guy. Yeah, this one I really want to talk about. Last week or week before that, it was talk about Apple is working on their own VR headset. And I really don't know how to feel about this. Just because, okay, VR is very niche.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say that word.
Yes.
And
it is.
The majority of it has been happening in the PC space. I mean, yeah, we have PlayStation's VR, VR 2, but majority is in PC space. And even though there's some walled gardens in there, like Meta, at the end of the day, you still can use PlayStation VR, or sorry, PlayStation, PC VR. So you can get access to Steam stuff, and you can play thumb on every headset out there. The problem I have with Apple is they are 100% a walled garden. They do not like to play with other people.
No, they do not. They will literally put in like programming of their own applications to not work on other ones, basically.
So the question is going to be, when you do this and they come out their own headset, will they play nice with PC VR? Will they play nice with Steam? Or will they go, nope, this is ours. You have to use our applications. Okay, which is not a bad thing. I get that. Well, it is a bad thing for various reasons. But what if you buy this headset, for most people do, as a gamer, or you want to take advantage of the many applications that are out there now? What happens if the people that are working on these applications, like, what happens if the people that do Walking Dead for PC go, we're not going to make a version for Apple? Then what happens to that headset? And does it flounder? Or, I mean, I don't want any technology to just die the moment it's released.
No, it makes me wonder of like, what is Apple's plan for their VR headset? Because exactly. That means they need to have actual applications to use. They need actual developers in the like wings that they can count on. And they also need to make sure that they have support for it.
Exactly. I
mean, Apple does have a very rowdy install base, because they're all basically always Apple stuff. So I can imagine that they're going to have people buy this headset. But the thing is what is it going to do? What's the point?
Yeah. And that's the thing I've been asking other people and talking about to myself, is like, it doesn't make any sense that Apple is going to do this without the support of all the programmers, all the publishers out there. What is your ultimate end goal? Especially, again, since Apple doesn't play nice, what's going to happen here? It just seems like it's a waste. And that's not to say Apple won't change their mind, but, you know, when you go back and look at the history of Apple, they don't change their mind. It's Apple or nothing. It has literally been that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
Pretty much since the beginning of Mac.
I mean, there's some exceptions. You know, we got some Microsoft applications on Apple stuff now. Okay, yeah. But that took forever. That literally took forever. I don't know. I just really curious. Would love to know what Carl and Kyle thinks about this. They're not talking about this one. I know Kyle likes VR.
I mean, I'm on the same side with you guys. I don't quite understand how Apple plans to compete. Yeah, the way that they're like so closed off, like I can't see them being like, well, it works with Steam. You know, it'll be, you can play these games. If you want to play Beat Saber, you can play it through the Apple Store.
Yes. And,
you know, I don't know.
See what I mean? It doesn't seem
like a great idea on Apple's part.
Exactly.
And like, I'm already not like a huge Apple fan. So, you know, I'm not excited about it.
I just don't see any positive. Yeah. I don't see any. Again, I don't want to sound negative, but I don't see any potentials for this right now, just because of how Apple has acted. And I sound like a broken record player, but this is Apple.
Yeah, it feels like another instance of, you know, like Facebook and their like little goofy metaverse.
The metaverse.
Metaverse garbage, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like that's like basically the only way they can really go with it is by trying to have a gimmick like that brings, you know, Apple consumers together. But otherwise, I don't know. I don't see it being a success story for them.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, there's not really much going on regarding that just yet. Yeah, Apple, let us know when it's ready and what'll come out. I mean, I will say this. There is potential because, which one is it? Resident Evil? Was it Village? Village is on, you can play Village on MacBooks.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't think you can play Resident Evil 4 on them, but hey, Village, I mean, maybe a version for Mac is coming out later down the road. So that's a start, maybe? I don't know. Apple and VR.
It's a weird choice.
It's a weird choice. It's a weird choice. And it's just like the iPhone, right? I was just literally having this conversation with my barber today. I was like, you know, there are diehard Apple fanatics out there, and like literally they go gaga over a different color phone. Like iPhone yellow, iPhone 14 is yellow now. And I heard people going, oh my God, it's yellow. Like it's a phone that is yellow that you're going to put in a case anyway.
Yeah, it's PP yellow. I don't understand.
They made a commercial for it and everything. Like
they want people to buy it, of course. They're going to make a commercial about it. It's just weird that people actually will buy it because of it.
Buy a yellow phone and put it in a case and you don't ever see the yellow.
It's no longer a yellow phone.
You get a translucent case and you can see your PP yellow.
Oh, thanks for that. Oh, man, you're doing a continuation of what we talked about earlier, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. Well, we need to laugh and smile just because this next couple of topics are very frustrating. So there was it last week? There was a lot of rumor and hearsay and BS about a PlayStation 5 Pro making rounds on Twitter. I'm pretty sure all of us have heard about it or read it.
Yeah.
And that came from Tom Henderson from Insider Gaming.
Yeah, Tom Henderson basically said that there's another SKU of PlayStation being worked on, and people took that to be, it's a PlayStation Pro, and then ran with it.
Yeah, pretty much ran with it. They're like, oh, we're getting a new PlayStation 5 in a couple of year or so. And that, of course, sparked the Twitter community and websites. Websites started talking about it. And I hate that. I want to say something. I want to say that that's not something that we'll do. If the rumor seems very far-fetched, we're not going to talk about it because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, PlayStation 5 Pro sounds just like, you know, Nintendo Switch Pro.
That totally came out last year, right?
I'm never going to let that go. I'm never going to let that go. No disrespect, but I'm never letting that go.
I don't blame you. I'm still not letting that go.
That kept coming up like year after year, and Nintendo's like, guys, we're not doing
it. It's still having rumors till this day.
People still talk about some kind of new Nintendo console because all their big stuff is coming out this year. So they're like, well, what's coming out next year? Clearly, we must be getting to the end of the Switch's life cycle.
It's only like a year ago, new console. I think, when Doug Bowser said that they were on the half-life.
Oh my God.
So it's just like, I feel like there's a lot more to the Switch than people think. But at the same time, I don't know if Nintendo can really outdo themselves on the Switch in terms of just like its allure and its pull for developers, for publishers, and for players, pretty much.
Literally, all Nintendo has to do is put a more powerful version of Switch out there. That is it.
Yeah, I mean, nothing, if they can make it anywhere close to running like the way the Steam Deck runs, that would be amazing.
Nintendo Switched. More power than Nintendo Switch.
Nintendo would have to be fine with selling at a loss, I think, for that.
Nintendo Switched sounds like something like maybe you would buy it and like you look in the box and it's just full of like rocks or something. On the inside, it's a joke. Like a little piece of paper. Ha ha, you've been Nintendo Switched.
It'll be the Nintendo Switch U.
There you go. But yeah, talking about this rumor, you know, there's nothing out there. PlayStation hasn't even hinted that they're doing this. If anything, we'll get a new PlayStation 5 slimmed down version, if that.
Well, hey.
It's either going to be the slimmed down version or it's going to be the other rumored one that I think holds a little more weight, which is the PlayStation that's going to have a detachable drive.
Yeah.
Well, hey, think about it. They're already also talking about the PlayStation 6 because of something with Mark Cerny. I don't know if you guys have seen that as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Because some rumor was going around saying he was in, like, the head of development design for the PS6 or something.
It's like, guys, we
just now started calling these new consoles the current gen consoles. We're not looking to upgrade to, like, next year. What are you guys doing?
We're not PC.
People have only just been able to get their hands on these things. Why are we looking at the replacements already?
Yeah, greed. I have finally seen a PS5 in a store. Like, greed. It's been 3 years.
It's greed. It's all greed. It's also stupidity.
The rumor mill in the gaming community is freaking wild.
I mean, we just Absolutely. Got the PlayStation 5. I'm not going to talk about Xbox Series X for various reasons. We just got the PlayStation 5. It's 3 years old, just almost 3 years old. And yeah, it doesn't live up to what was promised. I mean, everybody's like 4K and 60 frames per second ray tracing, and I'm going, you silly people, you can't even get that on a PC without spending $2,000. Are you crazy?
Even with custom RDNA chips, it's still a bit of a lofty goal.
Like, stupid head, stop it. Stupid head, Lilo and Stitch, one of my favorite Disney movies. That shit's not going to happen, guys. PlayStation and Xbox should have thought about giving people, okay, maybe 4K, fine. But 1080p, 60 frames per second, consistent experience with all the bells and whistles. But everybody want to do 4K and ray tracing, and now they're crying about this. You think if there's a PlayStation 5 Pro, that's going to be even different? You're talking about a brand new architecture. You think PlayStation is going to do that right now?
No.
They're not doing that.
Hey, you don't know that.
They're still catching up on the sales that they lost when they couldn't produce enough consoles at the time.
Right.
Like, there's no way known, like, business-wise, that it makes sense to put out a Slim or a discless drive or a Pro or anything. For most of these companies, the only one that we wish would do it, like we've said already, is Nintendo. Microsoft and Sony are still catching up on sales. So there's no way known that they're going to bother putting out a Slim or anything 3 years in. Why? Because that's what the cycle says? That's what previous cycles have said, as it keeps going in the fucking gaming community? You know, it's stupid. People are just trying to find any reason to grab a headline, and these things are the quickest and easiest way to do it.
True.
Yeah, this may be one of the longest gaming generations that we'll have because of the delays and the production issues and everything else. They're going to have to push it out an extra couple of years just to make profit.
Yeah.
Unless you're Nintendo, who doesn't care.
Nintendo made more money because of this.
Nintendo came out with the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, the Switch, and it's still going. How about that? And it'll probably outlive both those consoles. Gaming community, please stop. We know you love rumors. We love rumors too, but you got to use your noodle and think about this. It's just not feasible for this to be a thing. PlayStation ain't the richest company in the world. They got some money, and they're currently out there working on building or making new games. They're not looking to make new hardware. That's just not feasible. All that money they put into development for the PlayStation 5, you think they want to go do a PlayStation 5 Pro, which may not even be that much of a hardware or a performance bump. I think at this point we're at diminishing returns. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, listen, my dad works for Sony, and he told me PlayStation 6 is coming out this summer.
I'm gonna call that person a liar if I don't see it.
Yep, you'll be able to play The Legend of Zelda on it and Call of Duty, because Microsoft isn't gonna get approved for their buyout.
Oh yeah, well I can play that on
because my mom right works for the FTC and she's gonna stop that.
Ah, the good old FTC. This is hilarious. This shows how terrible that organization is. That cell is going through, guys. Just stop it, FTC. Stop making yourself look like an idiot.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's going through.
Just to keep things on track a little bit, you know, because we love rails and being off them. Do you know that what will be the biggest indicator of we'll be getting something along the lines of a revision or anything?
GameStop.
Anyone? No, not GameStop. I hope they go out of business. but we'll be complaining about them next. But the biggest thing will be is you'll see the end of the PS4 and the Xbox One.
That's coming up soon, too.
When they stop building and selling those and stop the production of the games, that's when your revisions will come out.
Until then,
shut the frig up!
Yeah, I think Xbox One doesn't have any new factors, but it still has, I think, some in stock. But yeah, PlayStation 4 is still getting made.
Still getting made, I don't pay attention either. So
you can still buy a PlayStation 4 on Sony's website.
Actually, you know what? I'm a liar. Stop for a second, because I was at I was at a store to get my phone fixed. Thanks for breaking my phone. I won't say who it was. And
it was me. I broke it.
No, I
was like, you want the pea yellow one, and I slammed his iPhone.
No, my screen on my phone had been cracked for a hot minute, so I took it to one of the official Samsung repair places, and they replaced the front of my phone, but broke my back.
Wow. And so now I gotta go Keith back. Is in a wheelchair.
They don't have the parts. But while I was waiting to get my phone, a guy came in with his original Xbox One, and I was like, wow, I haven't seen one of those in a minute. And he's enjoying it. I was talking to him. He's like, yeah, I really enjoy it. I'm like, okay. There are still people out there who enjoy the original consoles. Original Xbox One. So yeah, no PlayStation 5 Pro, guys. Oh, yeah.
I'm trying not to swear on these podcasts, okay?
You've been referring to said one. So I was gonna say, if you guys have been following Twitter and various websites, GameStop is pretty much, what is it, enemy number one for those who are big fans of Resident Evil. So basically, beginning of this year? I don't remember. That GameStop would allow you to pre-order the Resident Evil 4 Collector's Edition. Because
I feel like it was this year.
It was probably beginning of this year. Because they're the only exclusive place you can get it from. And of course, myself and other people went to GameStop, plucked on their money, and was assured they would get this version. Until a couple weeks ago, well, GameStop pretty much told people, oh, by the way, we're canceling your pre-order and you can't get this. So that was fun. I called up my GameStop and they were like, yeah, we knew this for a couple of days. And I was like, but I was just there. Why not just tell me when I'm in the store? And they were like, we're trying to figure out how to tell you. I mean, how you just tell me it got canceled?
Because they're cowards there now. They're so afraid of their managers and everything and getting complaints that they will tell you over the phone because then you can't punch them in the face.
I mean, I'm not going to punch them in the face, but I am going to voice my frustration. And the problem, here's my problem. And it's not just with GameStop. It's with all these companies out there that continue to work with GameStop with these exclusive deals. And you're forced to go to GameStop. And then you got people going, why are you shopping at GameStop? Because it's the only place I can get this collector's edition. It's the only place I can get this special edition controller. It's the only way I can get this steelbook. It's go to GameStop. And it's terrible. Why not go to Amazon and Best Buy and other places? No, you want to work with one of the shittiest game companies out there, or game, whatever you call them, companies out there.
So the problem, maximizing profits.
So the pure, problem pure and now, simple.
Like look at the price of GameStop versus Amazon. You know, Amazon's usually what, not even 2/3 of the price that GameStop's doing. You pay full recommended retail price at GameStop. Whereas Amazon will discount the game by 25% or something to try and get people to buy it.
Do they still do that?
That's all it is.
I know they stopped. I mean, Amazon was great with buying games. They have since then been the suck, as Starfire would say. Maybe things are different over in Australia, but there's not a big difference over here anymore. Before, they gave you discounts. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, they used to give discounts the same as Walmart.
Yeah.
You can apparently get one, I think, at Best Buy if you join their premium program, but I don't think it's worth it.
But getting back to this, so my big issue is I've been hitting up Capcom asking them, so since we can't get this from GameStop anymore, how is somebody supposed to be able to buy this? And they got back to me, I think, a couple days ago, and was like, go talk to GameStop. And I was like, That doesn't make any sense. They said, here's GameStop's customer care email address. Email them. And of course, I emailed them and I've yet to get a reply. And of course, since then, we've seen more prominent people in the gaming community asking the same question. I think Brian Otano, IGN, was asking, so how do you buy this? How do you get this? And the thing that's really frustrating for collectors like myself is, right now, there is no way to get it. But yet, Capcom will be sending this stuff out to their influencers and their partners and her buddies and YouTubers, and you'll see them, oh, guys, look, Capcom sent me this, blah, 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 blah. And it's going to go, meanwhile, people like myself want to give companies money, and we can't. It feels like a smack in the face. Here's a collector's edition that you can't buy.
Yeah, you know for sure, people like Spear Hunter are going to get one.
Oh, Spear Hunter's got one. No disrespect to her. She's great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
But yeah, and that's the thing that sucks. It really sucks. Or then you'll get people who will get it and who might want to get a quick buck, and they'll put it on eBay for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, triple the price.
And somebody will buy it because, you know, people out there are thirsty. I just think it's terrible. You can tell me if I'm being dumb. I don't like that. I am still upset with GameStop. I put my trust in you. I gave you my money. And then you come back and tell me, oh, sorry, by the way, we canceled it. And you haven't told me why. First, it was some BS about your software making it screwing up. Then somebody else said that they didn't have enough stock. I mean, which one is it? But they're not going to tell us. It's just a bunch of malarkey. I've used that word twice now. Feel free to step in or tell me, shut up.
I mean, I think you're absolutely right, though, to be mad about it. And I do think that it's sad that there is no like communication being thrown of why this actually happened. Was it a stock issue? Was it something that Capcom promised GameStop this many collector's editions and they weren't able to have it? Or was it GameStop not really having a correct status of their stock on their website? There's a lot of things that could have been. And the sad thing is they're not going to tell us.
Yep. And of course, if you want to get one from Japan, you can't because they want an address. I mean, I'm pretty sure you get around it, but I'm not going to import it. I mean,
no,
I'm not that hard up for it. I'm just mad. I'm just frustrated. But I mean, I'm not going to go do something stupid because I'm not that stupid because I can't get it. I'm not rich. I'm just mad.
So at least you don't have the additional problems that we have in Australia here with EB Games or GameStop, same company.
What
is it the collector's items like this, they put behind a tier system.
Oh yeah.
We have a loyalty program that's levels 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then once a year 9,999 people, okay, their top whatever percentage of spenders, get chosen to be level 5. What they've been doing this year is they've been locking a lot of the collector's editions, the physical collector's editions, behind that level 5 barrier. So not only is it like usually limited to, you know, 400 or 500 units or whatever, it's limited behind the level 5. So unless you are one of those 9,999 people who spend like at least 10 grand a year at the company, then you don't even get a chance of buying these, which is why I gave up and I started buying all my stuff through Amazon.
Yeah. Why they try to make gaming hard for us? Just let us be gamers and buy stuff and stop making things ridiculous.
Because we're heading towards another global recession, and it's heading. And they're going to try and find a way to make sure that the big spenders are the ones who get the stuff, because they can guarantee that they're going to spend the money.
Oh, yep. We're already there.
And GameStop knows that they're going out of business, so they're trying what they can to get customers to show up.
Have you been to a GameStop lately? It's less gaming and more just
merchandise.
Yeah. Within the last year, I went, because I think like my wife and I went to a hibachi restaurant that's right next to one, and it was the old one I used to work at. So like I walked in there and just like turned around and walked out, because it's so depressing to walk into a GameStop nowadays. I feel really bad for the people who are still stuck there.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because we only go to GameStop for collector edition, and because we have a manager who is a real good friend of ours, and we go there so often just to see how she's doing.
Yeah, all my friends have left. Like all my manager friends, like they've moved on to bigger and better dreams finally. So
I don't understand why she's still there. She constantly tells us all these horror stories, and you can see her being frustrated and whatnot. Yeah, it's like, and you're still here.
That's, dude, they get like stuck. Like, it's not that they're not looking for something better, but like all my old managers who I've like been super cool with and, you know, have talked to afterwards, like they were stuck there for years, like getting pushed around and kicked up by their regional managers or district managers or whatever, and having to meet numbers. And like, meanwhile, it's like, you know, they don't get paid enough. So what, no. Like, less than 40K a year. Like, it sucks being a GameStop manager.
Like, just
and they can't escape because like, that's what they got to pay their bills.
She goes to 4 different stores because they don't have enough people. Like, come on. That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's
awful.
But, yep. GameStop, ladies and gentlemen, GameStop. Let's give a round of applause to a dying company.
Bro, when I worked for GameStop, I'm sure you guys have seen me tell the story on Twitter, but there was a shooting at a GameStop in Georgia, and I think it was the assistant store manager or like the other key holder, he got shot in the face and died.
Dang.
So like a customer tried to be a hero and tackle the guy, and the guy, the gun went off, killed him. So they were sending other GameStop managers to help go and clean this GameStop up. And like, I was hearing like horror stories of like them having to cut up carpet with like bits and pieces of this manager they knew.
No, like, I would have like, nope.
In the carpet. Done. Like, it's awful. Dude, GameStop doesn't care. They could have paid a professional service to come out and that does that kind of thing. But they had like their underpaid management doing it, and it's messed up. Yeah, horror stories, man.
There's always unemployment. don't deal with that crap. And I get it. It's maybe not as much. In some cases, it might be as much. GameStop just seems to be a horrible company. And we're getting off track. Again, the rails thing. I think the consensus is GameStop is just a terrible company. Sorry to hear
that. NFTs are not going to save them.
Yep. NFTs not going to save anybody. Square Enix. I mean, GameStop.
And they're definitely not going to have the backing of people going to the stock market and pumping them full of money again.
No.
Yep, government got on that real quick. It's not happening again. Government was like, wow, people are making money off GameStop stock. Oh my God. We can't have people making money.
It's not us, therefore we must stop it.
Yeah, stop it. The little man's getting rich. What the heck?
I really don't want to talk about this topic, but it needs to be talked about for so many different reasons.
It's clearly Wild Hearts. Just tell me you hate it. You're done with it.
No. So there's been a lot of layoffs as of today. There have been massive layoffs over Amazon and Twitch, but we're not talking about that because we knew they were coming. It just really sucks. But there's been massive layoffs over 15 different outlets. Some of them you know, Twin Infinite, Siliconia, Gamer Journalist, Tackle the Fanboy, Destructoid, PC Invasion, The Escapist, Game Skinny, .esports, Operation Sports, a lot of decent websites with a lot of decent people. Well, those websites have laid off a number of people. I'm not sure how many of them there is. There's a lot of people. Due to operation inefficiencies. Basically, upper management wanted to make more money, so they fired people that were below them. And I don't understand this crap because it always happens where it's the foot soldiers, it's the staff, it's the grunts who get fired or laid off, and upper management, nothing ever happens to them.
Nope.
But they're the ones making the decisions that are causing issue. I don't understand that. But regardless, so some of the points, key points is that people at the companies will be getting a 3-month service package that I heard isn't really much. And that's only for people that are full time. Obviously, if you're a freelancer, you get nothing.
Oh, yeah, you're just cut off at that point.
And I've been watching a number of people that I've talked to or people that I've seen on Twitter basically telling everybody, hey, I lost my job. If you're looking for anybody for any work, please let me know. And, you know, I do as much as I can to help people out there. I try to hire some freelance to do some work. This is just, okay. I'm just trying to get an actual number, but I don't see it. But, and it also sucks. It happened right before PAX East 23. And I know a lot of people are saying, why is that having significance? Well, a lot of these people were going out to PAX East to report on the convention for their outlets. Many of these people have either purchased airfare and hotels and now either can't get the money back. If you did airfare, you definitely can't get your money back. Nope. Hotels, maybe. And, you know, this is supposed to be a time of happiness and celebration and having fun. And now it's like, I just lost my job. I wouldn't want to go to PAX East if I just lost my job.
Absolutely looking not.
I wouldn't.
You would want to go back to the hustle trying to find a place to, you know, get work.
Exactly. I'd be upset. Like, I just lost X amount of money trying to cover this for you guys. And now I got to figure out how I'm going to get money back. It's terrible. I hate to see this, and I'm not going to toot a horn or anything like that, trust me, but this goes back to all these outlets being purchased or being pulled into these umbrellas, and you have all these different websites, organizations that overlap each other. Like, why? I know why, but why would you have companies like GamePer and PC Invasion and Destructoid and Attack of the Fanboy and Siliconia and Twin Infinite that do the same damn thing under the same umbrella? It doesn't make any sense other than greed.
Ad revenue.
That is it. That is literally it. So then when you decide, oh, you know what? Out of these 15 sites, I can let go of these 40 people. That's not how many got laid off. They're saying, I get rid of these 40 people and my income, my bottom line will not be affected. Because that's what it is, bottom line. But now the problem is the talk on Twitter and Reddit, because this is happening, is people are lashing out to the entire gaming journalist scene, which I understand. People are now saying that the scene is either dying or that people are only out for to make money or that these corporations suck. And they do suck, I will say that. But there are some corporations out there that are trying to show that, hey, we're not bloodthirsty vampires. But for the most of them, they are. Then there are other people saying that, you know, the only outlets that are worth mattering are the indie companies, which I think that's a big thing. Like us, we're an indie outlet. There's other outlets out there that are considered indie outlets. We don't have
major corporations backing us.
Exactly. That make the decision, decide what's going to happen. Then, of course, other people are jumping in and saying, well, so much for smaller games getting covered because all these guys are turning into are just SEO farm. And this is exactly what's happening. You're going to see more of these sites coming out and doing lists and nothing but lists and generic garbage. And there's nothing wrong with lists. But when you're – when a good example is DualShockers. I don't know if you guys remember DualShockers before it became an SEO farm. They had great articles. A lot of it was very heartfelt, thoughtful articles. And then once they got sold – or they sold to this company, I forgot who it is, they turned into garbage. It was literally how to do this, how to do that, list this, this, list that. And I think majority of people left because they didn't like how the outlet was being changed for the worse.
Yeah.
Even the editor-in-chief I talked to, he's like, yeah, I left. So this is what's happening in the gaming space. And now the argument's going back and forth, you know, is gaming journalism, as in how we do things right now, is it dead? Is YouTube the future? Okay, yeah, it's well, not YouTube, but video. It's both. It's both now. You got to have an outlet that really cares. But if you're doing YouTube content for an outlet, like say you were doing YouTube content for one of these outlets and they fired you, would you say YouTube is the future then? No. It's who's backing you. It's who's got your back. It's who's doing this because they love the industry versus doing it because they love the industry plus they want money out of it. I mean, we're all doing this for money. We're all doing it because we care.
Yeah.
We like what we're doing. That is what it is.
Hey, we're doing it for video games.
Yeah, that's the thing. There was a person on there who was very adamant that indie games are not going to get covered anymore. And I really wanted to jump in the argument. And I was like, you know what? They're upset. I'm not going to try and make waves. I understand where they're coming from. But now that we can talk about this on our own show, and I want everybody to put their input on here, seriously, cover indie games. There are a lot of outlets out there that cover indie games. Console Creatures does indie games. Season Gaming does indie games. There are so many of us out there that cover indie games. The problem with indie games is they don't have the PR or don't have much PR, and they don't reach out. This is a conversation I had with somebody before. If you're working on an indie game, you still need to have PR and let people know, hey, we're working on this game. Like the Futuristic Crazy Taxi game that I'm reviewing, which I didn't really like for a couple of reasons. The only reason I knew that game was out there because I saw a tweet on Twitter. That was literally it. There was no PR. How do we know these games exist? We're not on Twitter 24/7. That's the thing. I don't want to turn this into, you know, you guys don't know how to publish or market your game, because this is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, outside of the people you let go, if you're working on an indie game, you still need to market this game. You still need to tell people this game is out there. We have no idea what this game is unless you reach out. There are outlets out there that will cover indie games. There are outlets out there that do nothing but indie
games. Look, the thing, like with indie games, it's also the fact that you go look at the from a site point perspective. We're trying to bring eyes to our website. That's how the ad revenue is generated, etc., etc. Just going indie games doesn't bring that audience, which is why it's hard for people to cover indie games.
That too, yep.
But there's also the other side of it too, is a lot of indie game companies are usually one or two guys working in their basement making a game. And
I love that.
They which is great, you know, more basement devs, go for it, love them. But when you contact them, a lot of the time they go, oh, I can't really afford to even give away for one copy of the game, even for promotion's sake. It's like, okay, well then how are you expecting to sell something if people don't know about it?
I guess it kind of highlights what Keith was saying too. Like, you know, they need someone to help back them so they can get that PR out there.
Well, that's it. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't, really.
Yeah.
Well, with these website cuts, like, it's horrible that this is the way it goes, that eventually you spend all this time building a reputation, building your name in the gaming space, which is hard to do. Like, extremely. These days, it's harder than ever to get your name out there in the gaming space.
Especially
as a website, because everybody's going more, you know, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitch, influencer routes. Websites, I will admit, are starting to get smaller and smaller. Then you take in a company who'll see a website that's built their reputation, built it really well for many, many years. They come in and go, hey, I have a bunch of money here. I can either pay you a one flat and buy your site, or I can offer you some sort of partnership. We won't change anything, except maybe this, 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 and this, and gear it towards what we want, basically turning it into an SEO farm. And next thing you know, your site's now under this umbrella being destroyed and all your staff's gone because they've already got people on staff that are writing for like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing that really aggravates me with this entire situation. These people were already making nothing as it is. And then you just go and do this because, you know, it suits your bottom line.
Yeah. How much did they really save by getting rid of these writers?
And the really crappy thing is that we've seen this before is they'll do this and then give it a couple months and then they'll come right back in and go, oh, we're hiring people.
I wonder why you're hiring.
Like, what? And then people will come right back. I mean, yeah, you need the job. I totally understand that. But the way you're doing this to people is garbage. And people realize that, hey, I need the job, or it's a future job, or sorry, great job, and I want this. What makes me mad more than anything else, and I was talking to my wife about this, is a lot of people who got let go again were already let go. And they came to another site thinking that, okay, great, I got let go from this place, but I'm here now. I'm good. I'm okay. And then they get let go again a couple months later.
Yep.
Like, come on. There's no stability. And that's what's making people mad. Unless your indie website or Kind of Funny, MinMax, things like that that are crowdfunded, you're not going to make it.
Yeah, it feels that way.
And it sucks. It really sucks. I feel bad for everybody who let go. I'm really hoping they find somewhere to start over or maybe just get out of this all together. And it really stinks to say that. But when you say, hey, I really hope you find something, and then what happens again, you get let go again.
Look, as much as this is probably the one that they don't want to hear, like a lot of them want to go straight back into a working job. Why not do what a lot of us here have done? You know, we have banded together, we all work with the other Haven. Yeah, I'll be honest, and Keith, I know you don't like talking about this too often, but we are the people who do this for the passion. We're not making money as much as we would love to, but we still do this because we have a passion for writing. We have passion for video games. We have passion for movies, TV shows, pop culture, everything else. We have built a website that has a very good reputation, that has a quality name. What's stopping these people who have been fired from banding together and starting their own site outside of money cost?
I will tell you what that is. There is a lot of technical things that needs to be done. I mean, and you said without money, not talking about money. And it's kind of one of the big reasons though. Like developer on hand to take care of issues, somebody to run your servers for you. Obviously somebody to man your TikToks or your Twitters or whatnot. And it's a lot of work. There's a lot of work behind the scenes. If you don't have somebody that's doing it for you that knows what they're doing, you're going to be paying out the yin yang.
Yep.
So there's a lot of stuff in the back end that happens here. I'm constantly looking at the server to see what's making nothing breaks or why things are slowing down or why somebody's trying to hack into the site and things of that nature. You need to have somebody doing that on a 24/7 basis. A lot of people just don't have the knowledge or don't have the money or see it as a pain in the behind.
But there are alternatives out there for those who are just trying to start things. You know, a WordPress account doesn't cost you anything unless you want to go really big with it.
But you got to get the servers. You got to run then you got to pay for the servers. Unless you're paying for WordPress sites or on the whole WordPress hosting stuff.
Well, even then, that's still an option and still a way to at least start getting things off the ground. Okay, once you work your way through that, then you can start looking at, you know, transferring the servers and everything else.
I think the problem with that, though, is, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. A lot of people are just frustrated.
Understandable. But so just trying to work out different.
Oh no! Like,
solutions and no, trying to help these people because, you know, it's sad to see people, one, out of a job in general, and two, especially in a very niche market like gaming.
I wasn't trying to see people
not have a job is like, you know. Plus, you want to keep one of the other things is keeping your name valid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the eyes, and that's just a ways to do it. One of the biggest things, and I wish I kept this up as much as I should, is that, you know, I was told very early on when I started doing all of this, even before I started with the Outer Haven, was that make your own site. Have all your work backed up on a single site, whether it's just a WordPress blog or something like that. Have all your reviews, your opinion pieces, everything backed up on a separate place, because that could work as your portfolio. But also, if you put the effort in to just even just copy and paste your stuff over, you might actually find that you having your own centralized stuff will get you more attention from companies and actually start being an alternative stream of income down the track.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's just different things of trying different things, but everybody seems to be so hung up on, oh, I'm a freelancer, I've got to make sure I'm in a job at all times. You're going to have downtime, okay? If most of these places, if you do get a 3-month severance, use that 3 months to start building your own brand, you know?
Look,
and then, you know, by then you should be able to get another job.
Look, I will tell you this, going on what you said, I signed myself up to Muckrack. So all my articles are shown in one place. And I do have my own portfolio. Even though I have the Outer Haven, I have my own portfolio that pulls my works from the Outer Haven or Thomas Hardware or wherever I go. So all my stuff is in one place. And I would tell anybody, and I have told people, to do the same thing. And you can also serve as a blog. I actually use a journal portfolio. Costs me a couple of dollars a month. And I can do whatever I need to do. It's a great place to put your stuff in there. And also another reason to do this, and it's something that has helped a lot in the past, like when you have a mass exodus like this, some of these websites like to take your stuff and either take it off the site or change it to somebody else's name. How many times have you read on Twitter that somebody got mad that their stuff got changed to somebody else's name or got removed altogether?
It happened a couple times.
Even here, if something ever happened to the Outer Haven's website, I tell you, I would like you guys to back up your stuff wherever. It's not going anywhere. Even if we stop doing this, as long as I can get access to a server, it'll just sit there until, you know, until I die. Well, then I can't help you there.
Oh, I know exactly like what you're talking about. Like a lot of the stuff I did early podcasts with a separate website, a lot of that stuff, once I left, they deleted.
Yeah, it's not
like my own personal shows and everything like that. They deleted them, you know, and it's ridiculous because I wish I had some of those recordings just because, you know, I could have archived them and had something else to show off. But, you know, bad blood is bad blood.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not even bad blood. It's just crappy decision, crappy business practice. I'm never going to go through and delete somebody's stuff. It's just it's crappy. You don't do that. Somebody put their effort into something, unless it's super duper toxic, shouldn't have been up in the first place. Well, then that's your editor's issue. Yeah, I'm really frustrated for these people. You know, I want to say hope they land somewhere else doing what they like to do, but I know how crappy this industry. I also love this industry very much. Just wish it wasn't so bad to people.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's your salt. I feel much better talking about that. I'm still very upset. And I'm also upset at you, GameStop, for my Resident Evil 4. Dang it.
That also sucks. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Hey, we have Carl here. So, Carl, we read your review of Resident Evil 4. I know it wasn't on the agenda, but now that you've had some time and your review is over and done with, is there anything that you would change or are you still infatuated with the game?
I will be honest, I am still playing through the game. I'm somewhere, I think I'm started chapter 8 out of 16, so I'm only not even at the 50% mark of the game yet. And I've got somewhere around about 4 odd hours worth of footage recorded. Like, this game, there's a lot of familiarity about it, and it's to the point where my brain is literally trying to keep me up awake at night, where my brain's trying to pull every part that I can remember from the original Resident Evil 4 to try and predict what's next. But, like, this is an improvement over the original game. Like, I had flaws, a lot of flaws with the original games, starting with the much-lauded controls that everybody loved back in the day. They aged badly. They were basically tank controls in a 3D space. It was terrible.
Tank controls suck in general.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. But, you know, the camera was terrible too. It only spun three ways. People don't remember that. You could only turn it to the left, right, or have it behind you. You couldn't do anything else with it. But now you have the full 3D camera. You can use it to, you know, pre-scout areas or look in the sections of buildings and stuff where you wouldn't have been able to find it before. Major improvement. The enemy AI is extremely well done. I have no issue with that. And, yeah, while they haven't really changed the story too much, at least at the point that I'm at, they have changed the order of things. So some events happen earlier, some events happen later. There's slight changes on what you already knew. So it's definitely a very interesting game. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to the next couple of days once the game actually drops in retail and how everybody's going to react to it, because everybody's been loving the demo from what I've seen. I never actually played the demo because the day that came out, guess what I got? I got the review code.
So, game to come out.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there while everybody's loading up the demo and putting that on Twitch, and I'm going, I could go live. No, I'm not allowed to go live on Twitch till the 23rd, which I will be doing. I will be playing it on the 23rd, a fresh game. You'll be at PAX. I'll be playing Resident Evil again. But yeah, I'm not going to call it a masterpiece. It still hasn't really changed my mind over what it did to the series.
Oh no!
But it's brought everything. It's basically now everything is at least in line with the remake universe. So except for Resident Evil 0 and 1, which could use those remakes for a time.
I was going to ask you, so which one is your favorite remake so far?
I'm still sticking with 2. Okay. Resident Evil 2, the remake, is absolutely chef's kiss perfection. But 4, it comes in a very close second. For those who haven't read my review, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5 stars. My biggest issue with it was that there are a lot of graphical issues, but that could just be in the review version. I know that there's a day one patch coming out, and that'll come out even for the review copies. So hopefully that fixes some of the issues I had with it, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, Resident Evil 4, if you can get your hands on it and play it. It's worth it.
You just can't get the collector edition. Thanks, game.
Yeah, you just can't get the collector's edition.
Can you tell how mad I am?
No, tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, I would like to hear about it.
If I could go to the general manager of GameStop and punch them in the face, I would totally do that.
And what mad.
Oh, he mad. He's sad mad. Gee.
You mad?
All right. Rails, we've seen them going off them. We forgot what these were. Sorry about that. But again, I will be at PAX East 2023. Not going to be really doing much as far as playing games. I'll be trying to get business contacts and, you know, help spread the love of this site and then enjoying myself, because, you know, business
also spread the love of Trails.
I'm going to talk to you off the podcast. That said, folks, thanks for checking out Spectrum Mode Podcast. You can always find its podcast wherever other great podcasts are. So Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and also over to theouterhaven.net, which you can always check out. There's some great gaming news, anime, manga, TV, films, and reviews, and all quotes. More than that, we got geek culture stuff there. Go check it out.
If nerds like it, we cover it.
Yeah,
pure and simple.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I mean, yeah, that's it right there.
Well, that sounds good to me. I'm gonna go check it out right now.
No, wait, no, we gotta go. We gotta outro first.
I got board games and toys to start reviewing in the set soon.
So from myself, from Carl, from Kyle, from Scott, thanks for checking out Spectrum Mode Podcast episode 130. And maybe I'll do a special one when I'm at PAX. We'll see what happens. Thanks for checking it out. Check us out. Check it out. Damn, I can't talk. Good night.
See ya. Bye.